Hello students, so we are coming to the end of strategic management course book. I welcome you again to the lecture on corporate governance. As I said in the previous chapter, strategic management process would not be complete without dealing with strategic leadership and corporate governance, because these two components actually guide the whole organization in the right direction. So they are integral part of the strategic management process, both leadership, strategic leadership as well as corporate governance, because the reputation and the brand value of an organization gets clearly reflected about what kind of leadership the organization has and what kind of corporate governance it's able to demonstrate to all the various stakeholders. So we'll talk about corporate governance. Corporate governance is about the interrelationship between the various stakeholders within the organization, how they conduct themselves. You know, whether the stakeholders like the management and board of directors, are they able to deliver value to the other stakeholders like employees, customers, partners, and society, and other shareholders, minority shareholders. So we need to look at how the interrelationship works, and what are the best practices in corporate governance, and what is corporate social responsibility. So this chapter is going to deal with that. So let's see, what are the learning objectives in this chapter? So these two, as I said again, once again, I'm repeating, both strategic leadership and corporate governance are two important components in the strategic management process. So that's why, we have included this as part of this course book. I'm sure you'll find a lot of value and understand, have a great insight into these two aspects of, an organization. We'll understand the importance of corporate governance. We'll also understand the definition of corporate governance and what are the rules and regulations, which are guiding the corporate governance, in organizations. We'll talk about that. To evaluate organization from a corporate governance standpoint, what is corporate ethics, code of conduct, and corporate social responsibility. Corporate governance is the lifeline of any business. So that's the first and foremost thing. Without that, any organization in the long term will not be able to sustain. Let's talk about, Satyam Computer Services. Satyam Computer Services is one of the top five leading IT services companies in the last decade, and the company's chairman admitted to having perpetrated accounting scandal, and thereby exposing the company to financial irregularities, and it impacted all the stakeholders in the organization, which is a history now. I mean, this company has been acquired by Tech Mahindra, and they are doing well. But what happened to Satyam Computer Services? The times of the high growth in the IT industry, there was Infosys, there was TCS, there was Satyam Computers, HCL Technologies, and Wipro. These are the top five companies in the country, which were known for taking India to the global market in the IT services industry. So corporate governance is the lifeline of any business that needs to sustain its existence. It's in general over and above the general laws and regulations, that are available for regulating the industry, regulating the corporate companies. So corporate affairs industry, they bring out a lot of regulations and laws, but corporate governance is to be is something to do with the integrity. Something to do with the integrity of the strategic leadership, integrity of the organization, the promoters, and some of the stakeholders, right? Corporate governance is tightly tied with the purpose of the organization and how the firm defines its business. There are companies in India which are they lead by leadership and lead by role models. Whether it is TCS or Infosys, Tata Sense, they all show that how business can be successfully conducted, how successfully business can be done in this country by being transparent, by being highly ethical, by being highly, with a high integrity of their strategic management team. So I think these are all clear examples, of highest level of corporate governance. That means disclosures or transparency or you know, strategic direction in terms of investments, in terms of employee welfare, in terms of shareholder welfare, in terms of society, you know, impacting the society positively, contributing in various sectors of you know, societal growth. So corporate governance is tightly tied with the purpose of the organization, you know, beyond the economic interest, also making a social cause, you know. Numbers of cases, organizations have collapsed because of bad governance. We know many examples. Lehman Brothers was a reason how the financial markets collapsed in 2008. You know, the company was company became bankrupt, and there are many companies who went in that direction, you know, in 2008, and the American government had to bail out some of those financial institutions. That's because of overindulgence, overcompensation, or you know, getting into new areas of very high risk, and you know, so what happens? You know, you create products which are you know, not sustainable, you know, for the industry. And you're creating bubble in the whole system, and that was the effect of subprime crisis that we had seen in 2008, and Lehman Brothers was leading the fall. And we had seen in early 2000 WorldCom, Enron, you know, scandals, and in 2009 we had seen Satyam Computer Services scandal, which I talked about. You know, the chairman admitted to having conducted accounting scandals, and you know, you know, completely doing fraudulent financial transactions. So I think you know, the cases, there are many companies which we can quote, both in India and in the global markets. So we need to give, that's why corporate governance is lifeline. What is corporate governance? Let's define it. It involves a set of relationship, interrelationship between company management, board, and shareholders with and other important stakeholders like employees, customers, partners, and society. That's what, you know, it's all about how they conduct themselves with each other. Are they fair? Are they transparent? Are they demonstrating ethical behavior? Are they highly behaving with high integrity? So I think that's very important. The governance framework provides the structure through which an organization is able to set its objectives and monitor its performance on a regular basis. So you need to have a governance framework. The governance framework is a structure as stipulated by the various guidelines like Sarbanes-Oxley Act or OECD principles, or even in India you have RBI Act, you've got SEBI, you've got other industry regulators. So you need to go and have disclosure agreements about your company. And you need to constantly, you know, publish it in the stock markets, so all the shareholders and investors and the general public, they are able to all have a view of how the company is doing and what kind of investments the company is making, what kind of potential threats and risks the company is taking, or what kind of financial impact it will have certain decisions are made. So if the complete awareness is made in the market, complete awareness is made with all the stakeholders, so they take the right decision whether to invest or not in a particular company. So this organization has to clearly set out its objectives and monitor its performance on a regular basis. So that's how the corporate governance framework comes into picture. What are the fundamentals of you know, corporate governance? Shareholders of an organization have a relationship with all other stakeholders because the investors' money is at stake. So obviously, when there is investment, there is money at stake. So you need to really you're accountable and answerable, you know, to the shareholders. So that is what it happened. That's what you know, Mr. Ramalinga Raju did in Satyam Computer Service when he was chairman. And you know, rest is history. You know what happened thereafter. It is also the way in which companies are directed and controlled. Whether they are doing a healthy management practice or they are indulging into something which is fishy and which is not known to the outside world, and you know, after some time it comes out automatically, you know, either through external audit system or through you know, some you know, board level independent directors take action or they come out open that this management board is not doing business ethically. So these things can happen, and you know, the truth will come out. Stakeholders in a modern corporation, there are internal stakeholders and external stakeholders. Let's talk about external stakeholders. Shareholders, you know, the shareholders, debt holders who have given loans and loans and money to the company to run their operations and make capital investments, trade creditors, suppliers and partners, customers and communities. Internal stakeholders, board of directors, the management, executive management and other employees who are directly involved in the strategy making. Principles of corporate governance. Rights and equitable treatment of shareholders and organizations to respect rights of shareholders and help shareholders exercise their rights. I think this is fundamental reason, you know, the fundamental principle, the right and equitable treatment of shareholders so that the shareholders are able to, exercise their rights. The interest of other stakeholders, organization has obligations to non-shareholder stakeholders like customers, employees, creditors, suppliers and society. So then you are answerable to them as well because they are contributing to the organization's success, directly or indirectly. Risks and responsibilities of the board. Board needs to meet requirements as to skills, understanding of the business, numbers, independent. So board should have the highest level of expertise, should have both independent directors and non-independent directors, executive directors. So you need to have the people who come with that experience and ask questions, you know, why this investment, why this merger and acquisition, why this, why are we expanding this business, why are we diversifying into new areas. So you need to create a business case study and be transparent about why such strategic decisions are made at the board level. So I think you need to have the skills and understanding of the business and understanding of the financial numbers and, you know, commitment and accountability foremost. Disclosure and transparency to clarify and to make publicly known the roles and responsibilities of the board and its directors and the executive management members to provide stakeholders with a level of accountability and transparency. So it's very important. So it is available in their AGM report, in their annual report, and it is also filed as part of the, in a stock exchange communication. So disclosures and transparency is very important. Any change in the executive level management role and responsibility have to be communicated. Any change in the board level has to be communicated. So let's talk about regulations and code and codes of guidelines with respect to the corporate governance. Sarbanes-Oxley Act of July 2002, which was enacted in the US in 2002 July, is also known as the Public Company Accounting Reform and Investor Protection Act, Corporate Auditing Accountability and Responsibility Act. There are two acts in this. If you look at it, SOX increased the oversight of role of board of directors and the independence of the outside auditors who review the accuracy of corporate financial statements. So you're talking about Public Company Accounting Reform and Investor Protection Act. So obviously the board of directors have a highest level of responsibility and accountability towards shareholders. If anything anything not in line with the regulations and codes and the guidelines is happening at the company management level or at the organization level, so they have a greater role, oversight role. The board of directors have a greater oversight role of boards. And, the auditors, outside external auditors who review the accuracy of, corporate financial statements, they have more right. So they can say that this, these are non-compliance areas. These are areas where you need a lot of improvement. You need to make disclosures and transparency, make it transparent. So these two, board of directors and external auditors have been empowered with the special rights to invoke certain clauses as per the SOX Act. The next one is OECD principles. The mission of Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, that is what is OECD stands for. This is to promote policies that will improve the economic and social well-being of people around the world. So OECD is about, all about, economic cooperation and development of the whole world. So obviously they promote policies which are aimed at improving the economic relationship and social relationship and well-being of the people of the world. Stock exchange listing standards, this is again from country to country it will differ. In India, SEBI is there, then you have the central bank, which is RBI, which is there. So other guidelines, International Corporate Governance Network. So there are many frameworks available to regulate and provide guidelines in terms of what is corporate governance. So there are special rights so that you can invoke, so that if any company is going in the wrong direction, can be exposed. SEBI guidelines. I'll bring some of the things which is available in India. SEBI guidelines norms are market regulator has listed requirements for compliance in the listing agreement. So market regulators. So if you are becoming a public listed company, you have to follow certain guidelines and regulations. So the SEBI is market regulator. And they have listed down requirements for compliance in the listing agreement, that is stock market listing agreement. SEBI has also issued guidelines under the clause 49 of the listing agreement. So very clearly, key standards of SEBI are as follows. Compulsory whistleblower policy, that means you can invoke the right of whistleblowing if something were to go wrong. No stock options for independent directors. So they give unbiased opinion about the company. Key standards of SEBI are as follows. The recent circular from SEBI, it talks about separate meetings of independent directors other than the board meetings, setting up of stakeholder relationship committee. So all the stakeholders get communication from the company board in terms of what's happening, what major decisions are being taken, and what's happening to the company in terms of its strategy execution process. Enhanced disclosure of remuneration policies. We have seen skyrocketing remuneration, so there are controls that are being put in place now. The huge incentives and fat pay packets, will have to be justified to the board and also to the shareholders. System to evaluate performance of all directors. Prior approval of audit committee, for all party transactions. You need prior approval of the audit committee, Stakeholders special resolution from material related transactions. So you need a special resolution from material related transactions, at least one woman director being represented on the board in every listed company. So these are the changes that have come about in very recently, 6 months or back or so. Purpose of a corporation. The purpose of a corporation is not just its economic existence, not just to make financial profitability. The motive of the shareholders, but also serve the society and other important stakeholders in all fairness. That's very important. That's what we said, what is corporate governance is all about. The relationship between the top stakeholders, the board and the management with other stakeholders in terms of being fair, in terms of being transparent, in terms of disclosing, in terms of disclosures, right? Corporate ethical behavior can be looked at a number of ways how the organization behaves during various challenges. So are they resorting to shortcut methods? Are they taking ethical approach? So ethical behavior is very important and every organization has a code of conduct. It has to be signed by every employee, including the top management, board of directors and the normal employees. I want to quote here, if you see this Tata Sons website, it's all about corporate social responsibility. The organization stands for its being a societal organization rather than being an organization with social cause. So you're saying, I am a societal organization. I have much more beyond my financial performance. I am contributing back to the country, back to the society, and back to the economy. So Tata Group believes in being a societal organization rather than an organization with social cause, which is very tremendous thing, very exciting and inspiring. I think many organizations can take a leaf from this particular vision how they can become a societal organization and contribute a lot back to the society. So corporate social responsibility, according to the latest Companies Act and Corporate Affairs Act, 2% of the profit has to be plowed back into the corporate social activities, you know, corporate social responsibility. CSR is generally the expectation that corporate organizations should serve both the societal needs and financial interests of the shareholders. So you must have heard about Asim Premji Foundation, Tata Trust, Bharti Foundation, Bill Gates Foundation, etc. These organizations actually, they stand for contributing back to the society in terms of education, in terms of creating healthcare facilities, in terms of creating, child and women welfare centers, social infrastructures. So they invest back into the society and how they can empower the society to become the next generation of entrepreneurs, next generation of children with education, good education system. They become good citizen of the country. So that will automatically aid the economic growth of and societal growth of the particular country. So corporates adopt CSR policy with the aim to embrace responsibility for the company's actions and encourage a positive impact through its activities on the society, environment, consumers, employees, communities, stakeholders and other members of the public. So if you see, look at Asim Premji Foundation or Tata Trust or Bharti Foundation, Bill Gates Foundation, they all established strategic initiatives around education sector, child and women welfare, healthcare, so other social infrastructures, because India is still fast growing and it needs a lot of investment around these areas in order to make inclusiveness of the citizens into the economic prosperity and economic liberalization. So I think that's what these foundations, it's a good job done by these groups, hats off to them, donating huge sums of money to their foundation, which can on a self-sustained basis be able to carry out this corporate social responsibility in the times to come. CSR is to aid an organization's mission as well as a guide to what the company stands for. So obviously it fulfills the purpose, very large purpose, that the company's vision, about the company's vision and strategy of its being in a particular business. So that's why I said, the why part of it has to be clearly understood, then the what and how part of a business will automatically fall in line. If you have inspired people, motivated people, then definitely the organization will reach its vision and its purpose. So in short, strategic leadership and corporate governance, these two are very important components of the strategic management process. With this, we come to the end of the session, end of the book subject. But before that, I'll summarize what we learned in the corporate governance subject. Corporate governance is a way an organization is directed and controlled. It's a system of law and sound principles and approaches by which corporations are directed and controlled, focusing on the internal and external corporate stakeholders and structures. In India, corporate governance is guided by the Corporate Affairs Ministry and SEBI. Corporate social responsibility defines a company's purpose and vision over a longer term beyond the financial measures like profitability. So with that, we come to an end. Let me summarize, this book, I'm sure you'll find a lot of insights about the various aspects of strategic management process. And if you have, it almost covers all the aspects of the overall perspectives of creating a sound strategy for your organization. And what are the essential ingredients, what are the drivers, what are the enablers, what are the do's and don'ts. And, it touches upon every component of the strategic management process, right from fundamentals of understanding strategic management process, industry and competition analysis, external environment analysis. Then we talked about vision, mission, objectives. We talked about corporate level strategy, business unit level strategy. We also talked about functional unit level strategy. Then we moved on to strategy formulation process. Then we talked about strategy execution process. Then we talked about strategy evaluation and control. And then we also, in a globalized environment, what kind of global strategy you can have? How do you globalize your strategy, beyond India? And the two most important, last but not the least, the two most important things, components of strategic management are strategic leadership and corporate governance. So with this, we are almost covering every aspect of strategic management. I'm sure you'll find it very useful and in your management course. And should you have any questions or any queries, you are always welcome to reach out to me through vSchool. I'll be more than glad to address your queries and be of help in your empowerment, in your as to become a strategic leaders going forward in your respective organizations. I wish you all the best and thank you for your time and attention.